is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today it's finally Thursday, May 14th. And it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Neary, and I shall be your host for the day. The numbers to call today are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. And if you're calling from the Family Island and you want to call us, the number is 242-357-20. And of course, for those of you who like to text us, powered by BTC, the text line is 422-4796. You save that in your phone one time, so you're able to text us back and forth. Today, I'm supposed to be joined by Garth Roseborough. He's late. It's raining outside, but I expect him any moment now. But I'm going to continue my theme for today. I want you to participate because I need your help with the commentary to explore this concept I'm trying to hash out. If you look all through social media, everybody's pontificating on what happened during our general election. I mean, long diatribe all over social media. You can go and read if you have the time. Some good commentary too, and some good insight that you can appreciate, and you can draw your own conclusion on exactly what happened. Why is there a low voters turnout? Everybody's pontificating about that, giving their opinions. No scientific evidence though, just opinions, right? Ranging from this thing to the next thing. But today, my conversation is about polarizing figures. I'm going to talk about one in particular, but you can join in our conversation and add your polarizing figure in terms of how it impacted this general election. And I want to know what you think about it or why. Why did it happen? So we had three polarizing figures as leaders of factions of political parties. We had the Prime Minister, Philip Davis. We had Michael Pintard for the FNM, and of course for the COI, the polarizing figure there would have been Lincoln Bain, right? In the PLP's politicking, promotion of themselves, you see the big banners all through. In fact, there was even commentary about how many banners, how many billboards, how many flyers were out. Say, man, the PLP was bannering up all over the place. But on each of the contestant persons vying for political office, they had a picture of the Prime Minister in the background. They had a prominent picture of the candidate, but in the background lurked the picture of the Prime Minister. Of course, there was some critique. Those on the opposite side said, oh, there's just no need to have the Prime Minister there. Oh, he's taken away from the candidate himself. But there was a reason for the Prime Minister's picture. And I'm saying that reason is, earlier in the election, this is where you can come and join in, I on the radio, I uttered out that there are some what I call battleground constituencies. Definition of battleground constituencies meaning that it was going to be a close election, or the when you start adding up the first polling divisions, the numbers are going to be close, and of course it's going to be a sprint to finish, and then you see the numbers separate. But at the beginning, I said that several political constituencies would be close, where perhaps we won't know who would be the determined the winner till late in the counting. That did not happen. And I want to know what happened that did not happen, because there were PLPs and FNN and COIs and independents and political strategists and political pontiffs who declared that, yes, they some predicted that, yes, the PLP will win, but there'll be at least 10 seats that will be closely. I can try and see if I can remember one or two of those seats where I assumed, would have been closely contested. But I believe the picture of Philip Davis in the background was the deciding factor that resulted in a win for the PLP. Right? Let's see if I remember. I thought Bamboo Town with the Speaker of the House. What's the Speaker of the House name, Garth? Patricia DeVoe. And the chairman of the FNM, Dwayne Sands, I thought that constituency would have been a battleground fight to the end constituency. I believe that Patricia DeVoe would have won. And the reason why I believe that Patricia DeVoe would have won is because of Mr. Davis's pitch in the background. A vote for Patricia is a vote for Brave. We're doing this with Brave because Brave is safe. And they said the country is safe with Brave, and if, in order for Brave to be safe, you needed to vote for Patricia. Even though I thought that particular seat could have gone anywhere. I think with the right campaign, I thought Dwayne Sands would have taken it. Another battleground constituency, I assumed, I thought would have been Freetown. Freetown turned out to be a battleground constituency. I thought it was going to be close, right? And I wondered why the picture of Brave, I'm sorry, I try to keep on calling Philip, and I always call him Brave Davis, so forgive me if I do that slip. I thought the picture of the Prime Minister behind Wayne Munro would have been sufficient to save him, perhaps. But we know that on the ground that Mr. Munro was embattled, that Lincoln Deal was popular. And that, in fact, that if you ask independent politicals, they would say Deal was favored to win. But with the help of Adrian Fox, who declared that I plan to pump in millions of dollars in this constituency if you vote in Munro. But it didn't work. I mean, I think Deal won by 20-odd votes, but he win. Another battleground constituency I thought would have been South Abaco. I thought the incumbent, Mr. Pinder, who left South Abaco, was a dismal member of parliament. And I thought that the FNM candidate would have edged out, but it's going to be a fight to the bitter end because, again, the PLP was popular with the constituents on there. And so, same as with North Abaco, with the issues the incumbent McIntosh had there, I said, these are battleground areas where we got to be sitting and watching and wait till the final end who would win. I also thought Pinewood would have been close. I didn't anticipate Lincoln Bean to be with the PLP to be the two close runners. I thought he was going to be a third person there and maybe even considered a spoiler, but he was not a spoiler there. He was a proficient candidate there. He didn't spoil anything. He came there, campaigned as an alternative, and he was not a spoiler. He went there to win. And at one point in time, a number of behemoths thought he did win when they saw he won a polling division and that he was ahead. And when after the commercial happened and the rest of the polling stations came in, you find out that he'd be actually behind. I can talk about that too with Garth. Garth is here. I'm going to ask Garth, why is Lincoln planning to go to the election court? Like, what are you trying to do? Is it like 20 votes? 30 votes he is trying to fight over? Or is it hundreds of votes he's trying to overturn? We can talk about that also. But I want to talk about that polarizing figure. At one point in time, part of the campaign, I'm not going to say FNM or CU, because the FNM denied it, say it was in them, right? We saw that there were attacks on the prime minister as a person. They had one picture where they make it or suggested that the prime minister wet his pants for whatever reason, a spill, right? But there were attacks about the familiarity. They stopped calling him not even just Brave or Prime Minister Davis. They start having their people call him Philip. Little Phil, or they say Little Phil. Small boy. Not a senior man who's 72 years old. He's a small boy. And if I was a small boy, I can reference you as Little Phil. It's an attack on the person of the Prime Minister, or the attack of the leader of the PLP, who's a big man. Big man. And I'm saying, is this attack of a senior person? When I say senior, I talk about his clout as a political warranted, and would it backfire because the people have him in reverence? People have people like a Perry Christie in reverence. You don't talk bad about Perry Christie. He's still Mr. Christie. If people have Hubert Ingram in reverence, some strong revere, you don't talk bad about Ingram among certain people. They get parry. They get excited. They get defensive. And of course, you don't talk bad about Brave Davis. What do you expect the people, how the people react? The whole campaign was based on Brave. The people said they're safe with Brave, and then you attack who they thought was safe. So it yuck up some vexations. It's a vexation of spirit. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Lincoln Bain, his name change. And I want to talk about the impact of having a prime minister picture behind every candidate's photo, main photo. What was the intent? Did the intent work? Battleground seats where we assume that. I thought Mr. Darvall was embattled. I thought Mr. Darvall would lose his seat. And he won that convincingly. And I'm thinking it wasn't because of the works of him. It was because of the works of Brave. Brave won the seats that a number of people thought was going to be embattled or close, or that there would be casualties, political casualties. I want to welcome Garth Roseborough, and so he could do some commentary on that. I welcome you to call now to give your critique, commentary on what I was saying before, the impact of Philip Brave Davis on this general election.
Well, good morning to everyone here in the Bahamas and those of you listening from abroad. Good to sit with you again, Mr. Nouri, and quite an introduction, I must say. And as you've always told me, you only have 1 hour to squeeze everything in. That's a lot of squeezing.
That's a lot of squeezing.
And I think what stood out to me, you mentioned this whole idea of the image that sits behind each candidate in the 41 constituencies, minus one, which would be Brave himself, mm-hmm. and the impact that that would have. And I do believe the first time I recall in my lifetime seeing such imagery was with the Free National Movement,
yes,
with Hubert Alexander Ingram in the background.
Oh, where he put all of his posters in each constituency.
Well, it was all about leadership.
Yes, it's all about leadership.
It was all about leadership, you see. And I like what you're saying in terms of acknowledgments. I do believe that in this particular election, I wouldn't say that it was just the image that brought victory to the Progressive Liberal Party. I think the same Hubert Alexander Ingram mentioned that it is up to the Free National Movement to energize, encourage, welcome, and have their people to show up at the polls and vote. What we just saw this election, as I predicted, you had 56% of those registered to vote turn up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who are the other 44%? We have mentioned that the Free Progressive Liberal Party, their base is showing up, and we would say now today did show up. And a part of that was the young people. They brought the fun time. They brought the music. They brought the inclusion. I think that...
I want you to repeat that. What all did they bring?
They brought the party.
They brought the party
good, in. The good time.
The good time.
Yeah, the welcoming and the inclusion.
And the welcoming.
Yeah, and the FNM didn't do that. The FNM was still a staunch party that was, I don't want to use the word arrogant, but they were stiff. Mm. They were just very stiff. They were business as usual. It was not attractive to younger generation or to those people who may say, you know what, I want to swing over to Free National Movement in this particular situation. This whole idea of corruption and, you know, people in terms of infrastructural failures and the complaints, it was not an attractive campaign.
I want you to pause there. The FNM attempted to show what all was going wrong.
Yeah.
And you saying that show by having a campaign that was, in my word, negative.
Mm-hmm.
Saying this is not working, that is not working, this is the gloom and doom. If you don't change, more gloom and doom. You're saying that that also impacted the election?
If that didn't impact it, then you explain to me, as you just said, Tall Pines, where everyone was complaining about healthcare in this country, including PLBs.
I thought Darvill was gone.
But so why did Darvill win?
I think because Philip Brave Davis' picture was in the background and it said, a vote for Darvill is a vote for me, and I need Darvill on my team to succeed.
So then go ahead and compound that with only 56% of the people showing up. Mm. Who didn't show up?
Who did not show up?
That's your issue. Because Braze Davis's image wasn't sufficient to get even half of that 44% that was still sitting out there. If he was that attractive, he would have gotten another 20% of them. So it wasn't an overwhelming situation. It was similar to that of COVID-19, where people just simply said, you know what, to hell with it, I'm voting. That's what happened.
We can talk today because I was having a discussion with one of my friends about who did not show up. And everybody have their theories. I can tell you some of my ridiculous theories. And I call it ridiculous theories because in order to find out why people didn't show up, we need to do some tests.
Well, I'll tell you right off the bat.
You already consume.
Right off the bat.
And I bet you my theory will trump your theory or moot your theory out altogether.
Okay, well, I had one theory for the last, year?
Mine was from the beginning, but I can tell you beginning time. But I guess you're going to call us, and I want to hear your theory, and I'll tell you my theory, and you can see that mine makes more sense.
Okay.
Watch for it.
Okay.
Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio, AM your life.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have one observation from the discussion about the Prime Minister's picture being behind everyone. There is one picture that I saw where he was in the front of someone, and that person was the Member of Parliament for Zolo.
The Member of Parliament for where?
Zolo.
Oh, okay.
Check it out.
Okay, thanks very much. I will check it out. I didn't notice that. Foreground and background are two different things. But let's go. What is your theory? Why the people didn't show? And again, it's just a theory. And of course, you didn't do no scientific work. You didn't call people and ask them. I know this, what I'm going to say, for a fact. But go ahead.
Well Nuri, I for one have ran in a previous general election just for the experience.
Mm-hmm.
I did do an all-out campaign. I was there. I did touch the ground for one day just to see what it felt like. And I'll tell you this much. When you are campaigning, people expect in this country, the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, something. It's just...
Stop there.
Okay.
What you mean they expect something? Something like what?
Something of value. Whether the value is a beautiful shirt, a nicely designed hat, a wristband... that is a voucher, it's something that's going to be attractive enough in value to make me feel that, you know what, I will support you.
Is that a part of our political culture?
That is the culture. Because as much as my neighbor who was driving a golf cart picked up a lady in Adelaide wearing plain clothes, going to the pool, and he told her, come on the golf cart. And she says, you're going to let me ride? I don't have on any party paraphernalia. He says, no, I'm giving you a ride because I know that it's a very hot day. I know that it's exhausting to get there. It's quite a walk away. And as a Bahamian to another Bahamian, I want to give you the privilege to ride to the gate. She said when she came out, he said that she came back to his car and said, sir, it's only because of you today that I voted PLP. Simple thing. Right? It's just a value. Okay. It's just a value.
I'm going to go to the caller.
It's just a value.
But what did the COI offer? Because I didn't get, they had no money to give nothing.
The COI in this election outbidded the Free National Movement in becoming the whip. They are the ones who are saying, you know, something different than what you have now, then look at me. Their screams were louder. Their actions were louder. They were everywhere. And it almost seemed to me at some point that the Free National Movement was following behind the lead of Lincoln Bain. Mind you, the similarity was Lincoln Bain is the sole orator of the COI. Now and then you'll see the Deputy MacIver. Every now and then you'll see the chairman. Similar situation in the Free National Movement.
Mm.
Michael C. Pintard is the orator.
He spoke for it all the time.
Okay. Now and then you'll see the Shannon Cartwright, who has to now throw a mace out the window just to get some attention and political collateral. We see the chairman speaking from time to time behind the desk as the CEO and chairman of the Free National Movement. But the main person was Michael C. Pintard. So now we have a competition between Lincoln Bain and Michael C. Pintard, who's screaming the loudest, because both of them are not bringing anything to the table, not anything of value to the Bahamian people. And even though the Free National Movement has a strong base, and the COI has no base at all, we saw the results where Michael C. Pintard did an awesome job in Marco City, his results was awesome, and Lincoln Bain did the same, an awesome job in Pinewood, almost winning his seat as a party from the third party realm.
Let's go to this phone call. Because I want to talk money.
Value.
And value.
Value.
Because I want to talk money and value.
They say all money ain't good money. Nope. But value.
But value?
Value. Everything ain't money.
Let me talk about that too. Go ahead, caller. I'm making space for you. Guardian Radio AM. You're live. Kermit, that person gone? Let's clear the line then. Call back, caller. Sorry about that. And let's go back. Right?
Go ahead. Tell me your
theory. You mentioned, my theory why the people didn't show up, or the theory?
Yeah, okay. Theory.
Mm-hmm. I think they was hypnotized. Magic.
No, you want to go there?
I just say that. I tell you what it is. It's right. All those people who wanted to go vote, they were hypnotized and could not vote.
Okay, so what is the hypnotizing?
No, I haven't gotten that far yet.
I want to know what the agent is.
I haven't gotten that far yet in the theory. I'm just saying that my own is as good as your own in terms of what is the reason why. That means all of it is
gone. You're saying hypnosis.
That's what I'm going with. You can't prove me wrong. I see where I can't prove what you said right. That's it. We just don't know.
I said on my show, nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
Yeah.
And if you're not bringing anything, what do you expect in return? This has been my song for the last year going into the election. And it came down to, for me, finances, appearance, leadership, and organization.
So let me ask you this. Did the PLP outspend the FNM? Of course, COI, I'm going to call them. Let me ask the question again, because I was over-talking you and I wanted the people to hear you properly. Forgive me.
Okay.
Did the PLP outspend the FNM?
On every turn, on each by-election and on the general election.
You know ratio? Give me a ratio you think they outspend the FNM by.
I would easily say 7-1.
Man, you know what's so 7-1? I was saying 2-1, 3-1, and you're going all the way to 7-1.
7-1.
So you were saying that, because we know the PL, I'm sorry, we know the FNM got money. We saw when the bag, like, they start spending. It was late. And if the FNM had if the FNM had $2 million, $3 million to spend to put on the ground, and you saying 7-1, that's 7 times 3, that's $21 million you're trying to suggest that with the PLP spent on the ground?
You saw houses being built?
I saw houses being built.
You seen plywood being taken?
I seen all kind of new plywood.
You see paintings? You see cars? You see buses?
Shirts galore?
Okay, so watch this now. The Free National Movement, I'm not saying this in an insulting way, I'm just being realistic as to what I see, what I observe. Tell me that I'm blind.
Mm.
What I saw from the Free National Movement in this cycle was similar to the actions of the COI in 2021.
You mean on the corner and begging for money?
No, they had posters everywhere. Remember those posters when we went to R.M. Bailey?
Yeah.
They had a whole long line of posters on R.M. Bailey Park. Remember that?
Yeah.
Go on JFK now, what do you see? Lines of posters. Just those billboards. Just line of billboards. Same thing. Yeah. Same thing, just billboards. The shirts have not changed. The printing on the shirt has not changed. It's just the same flat print on a red shirt, red and white. Not
not attractive.
Not attractive to the young people.
Not what they call it? What they call it? Dry fit.
So they tried to make fun of the PLP by saying, "Oh, look at the Joneses wearing their shirt and all." Yeah, even the Joneses wearing that. The Christian people wearing that. Even had probably some other people and tourists wearing it. I don't know, but the shirts definitely, if you, was more attractive, more appealing. It was more of a partying style, new age type feel to have one of those shirts. They had the caps, they had the wristbands, and I literally saw people standing on the road on Soldier Road near to Woodlawn Gardens in front of my cousin Brian Brown's headquarters. I saw them in front of South Beach trying to give out those shirts, even in front of St. Joseph's Church, St. Joseph, I think, or on Boyd Road, trying to give out the shirts. And people not stopping to get those red and white shirts. They just didn't want them. Now, I'm not saying the PLP got all of their shirts distributed, because some people just are not interested in wearing paraphernalia at all. But for the most part, the PLP actually distributed and wore more of their inventory than the Free National Movement.
I saw a headline which says that Mr. Pintad had a plan, but Mr. Davis had machinery.
Mm-hmm.
Did the PLP have a strong machinery? Now, mind you, I was told that when someone named Gerald, was the bag man who orchestrated and managed everything, this Gerald guy, right? And that he was able to manage an entire operation that run like a well-oiled machine, said, you get this couple hundreds here, you get this couple hundreds here, and this is what you do with the money, and these are the people who you hire. Is that something similar, or is it true, or is it just rumor, or whatever?
Which part of that is not traditional Bahamian politics?
The African didn't do it. Didn't see the money.
But first, you have to have it to give it.
Okay.
Remember what I said to you? Listen.
Call, I'm coming to you right now. Don't hang up.
Go to your call. I'll talk after them.
Okay.
That's fine.
Guided Radio AM caller, you're live.
Hello.
Hello. How you doing, ma'am?
I'm fine. It's a sad situation when it all boils down to who has the biggest party,
mm-hmm.
who has more money,
mm-hmm.
and who has better shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Come, Bahamians. We gotta do better than this.
Let me get... You want to hang up, right, miss? You still there?
Ma'am? Well, she's gone. But
I want to talk to the lady. But let me... If the lady called back, I want to ask her that. There's a saying, say, you take people where you find them. If you find them to a spot where they need a shirt, what do you give them?
If you
find them to a spot where they say, this is boring and I'm not engaged with the political rhetoric at all, what do you do? Do you try to entertain them? How do you garner the vote? What do you do to say, I need you to come to the poll? And mind you, it might be true, it might be a sad state, but this is the state we're in. How do you complain about yourself if you're content with what you are?
And Nuri, you're just so profound when you say that. Very, very deep. As a former professional clergy member that on salary, there are certain antics that work in the pulpit. If they don't work, you don't use them. One of the things that I had stopped using was the book of Malachi, where it says, will a man rob God, yet you've robbed me? Because people feel guilty, and they got to give. If you feel guilty, you give, right?
Mm.
But when I found out that the text wasn't speaking to the congregation, it was speaking to the pastors, I had to stop using the text. When you stop using the text, then, of course, your tithes goes down. Same thing in timeshare. I sold timeshare for a number of years, made buku dollars. But when I found out that timeshare was hurting more people than it was actually saving, I felt a little bit dismayed, and I quit. I just couldn't do it anymore. And so the same thing in politics. You're going in to win.
The goal is to win.
Just to win. If you got to build a house, listen, man, the worst thing that could happen to you in politics is you lose by 3-4 votes.
That's how people in South Africa feel.
If I had given out $100 more, if I'd given out $500 more, if I'd given out 10 more shirts, if I had just gone and knocked on 10 more doors, these are the things that you do not want to have as regrets after the numbers have been counted. And so when people say, oh, we got to do better than this, Bahamian people, these people are not doing better as yet. We want them to do better, but until they do better, if you want to win, you're either going to participate as such to win, or you're going to simply say, you know what, I'll take the loss being the noble person that I am.
Oh, the principle.
But
the
yeah.
Losing principle. Let's go to the callers there. I know Freetown wish the money to come sooner. Because Fort Charlotte was spending, and Freetown wasn't spending, and they was up to spend all the money. Let's go to the callers. Guardian Radio AM, you're live.
Yeah, good morning, Mr.
Hey, my brother, how are you, man?
Yeah, you know, I have an input, right? You know, yeah. I'm on the ground and in the city. I'm socially diverse, right? And so for me, how you would garner it is by allowing a bunch of young men to drop out of high school because we've known for decades that dropout rate was 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Don't teach them any trade, and now they're calling everybody daddy, right? And so you perceive to be having a little bit of money. See, firstly, everybody has money. I have some money, God has some money, but it's just how much, right? Everybody has money. So what happens is when you see the change in the way young men think, and ladies, everybody's looking for something. So mm-hmm. even with a handout, things okay. wouldn't pan out.
That's correct.
So what I'm seeing on the ground is, if you have, see, I said this on the radio many times, you know, like, for instance, there's a gentleman accused me of using big words, right? But little did he know that nothing is bigger than the human brains. Because if a word is multisyllabic, why dwell on it if you have a smartphone? You don't try to dumb me down. It's the burden is not on me. I didn't go to school for communication and journalism, and I'm not a talk show host. So the burden doesn't lie on me for you to comprehend me. The burden lies on you to comprehend what I'm saying. I'm not obligated for people to understand what I'm saying. If you don't listen and you don't want to understand, then see, what I mean is we have become lazy thinkers. Society is breeding us to become lazy thinkers with smartphones and mindless scrolling. So you get what I'm saying, God?
Mm-hmm.
This is social engineering. It has nothing to do with me, you know. When I read George Orwell's book 30 years ago, I didn't ask him what oligarchical collectivism means. It doesn't impress me about big words. I can't be ostracized. What I'm saying is, when you allow people, all right, let me ensure, we have too much young men that reach a 30 and up, or 25 and up, and don't have a trade. Rasta is called it. Clint is a craftsman. I do upholstery. I do electrical. I do a lot of things. And you say, we had the Jumbe, Edmie Moxon. What do you call the Jumbe village here? All these art and crafts, these things that people down look in primary school and high school that actually can bring subsidiary incomes. And trade work is one of them. So even though as people try to, like right now, a friend of mine, he want to hire an upholsterer for $700, $800 a week. He can't find anybody. You see, and one of the guys, he has a record from, he was 16, he did something when he was 16. So the people in the industry is holding that against him. So this is what it is. So you need, people thought, oh, they have BTBI. Yes, they have BTBI, but you have to understand is with the number of delinquency. Like the other day, I saw a young man, two of the young fellas on the bicycles. I don't know if they homeschooled them. I mean, sick from school, but they're on the bicycle. They should be in school. Yesterday, I saw a young man, kind of big and burly. I think I know his father, but he was sideways, so I couldn't recognize him. But he's bareback on Market Street, walking north, and he has his pants pulled down, like almost by where his thigh start, and all his underpants is exposed, all of his side of his is exposed, and he's walking like a zombified person, and nobody's saying anything to him. You know, I just don't know what's going on. But what I'm saying is, somebody else have a reach out and touch program. So these programs like BTVI, they need to be induced into the inner city, and we need to grab some of these young men and teach them a trade to give them a self-worth and significance.
Right.
I'm not looking for the bottle of significance, and the guy doesn't know that I'm a Rasta and I wear dreadlocks, so he helped me for some highfalutin poison because okay. I come and use big words. I've been reading all my life.
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you.
That's encouraging.
Let's go to speed up some of these conversations. So let me go to this caller and then go to the text after that. Go ahead, caller. Garden Radio.
Yeah, how you guys doing today?
Doing well.
How y'all doing today?
Doing well, sir. Go ahead.
Doing well, my friend.
Great. Listen, let me just tell you something. You know, I don't know if you guys heard what the Mr. Hubert Ingram said in his congratulations to Mr. Davis and so forth. And one of the things that, you know, I'm quite certain the opposition is, and those who follow that trend, they're trying to find a reason. A reason why we you know, the turnout was and all this other stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the biggest pictures that they're missing is who was the better party to galvanize their supporters to come out.
That's it.
Whether the number was small
or big,
or whether the number was huge,
mm-hmm.
who had the better approach to getting their numbers out? That's what they're missing. They're looking for numbers when they should be looking at our message. That is what they should be gathering and paying attention to, because obviously Mr. Ingram said it in not so many words, and I'm paraphrasing, that the message and that the former leader, in his words, I'm not saying in mine, but in his words, has left a stain on the party that has now affected the party through two administrations.
I love this caller. I love it, man. You're doing well.
And what the party is not recognizing is this. Bahamian people attention to the fact. Yeah, and I said this before. There was no running on their previous record. They were trying to bury the previous record.
That's it.
And if you had nothing to run on,
mm-hmm.
and they even tried to bury themselves. When you look at some of the representatives who sat in the cabinet
mm-hmm.
in the last administration, at least five or six of them was running.
Like Desmond Bannister and those others, yes.
And their collective responsibility. They could go talk with Hubert Minnis as much as they want to. From the leader straight down, they sat in cabinet, in that office, in that room when decisions were being made.
Mm-hmm.
And now they want to blame everything
on
Mr. Minnis.
Mm-hmm.
And not take there's only collective responsibility when it fits their suit.
Mm.
But all of them sat around the table. All of them throw their 2 cents in.
I appreciate you, caller. And thank you very much. All of them throw their 2 cents in. Collective responsibility. Let's read this text here. You call me to join the conversation. It says, I am beyond concerned for my country. I can only imagine the amount of high-fiving and laughter from those in government who, despite giving, among other things, almost $1 billion in no-bid contracts, having $141 million spent in beaches and parks, not being transparent with a myriad of other issues, were still reelected. To use a word for the punch, they must now feel time demo gods and can do anything they please and not be held accountable. What message is that? I can talk about that. We can take a quick break now, but I can talk about that because 56% of the voters who voted said they okay. Mm-hmm. They heard you complain and they said, we okay. Move on. Majority rules. We'll be right back.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want to find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Rona. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Let me read one more text and go straight to the phone lines there. It says, I feel how excellent Lincoln Bean did in the election. It will be political genius for the FNM and the CY to select Mr. Bean as a senator. No, texter.
stop talking. I don't even want to read this no more. Because they, as if they don't understand politics. Why would they do that? Especially in a dispensation where the party is going through turmoil. You them now, you lose all kind of acronyms automatically.
Well, that happened before, didn't it?
Yeah, with who? No. There was two different acronyms. Because the leader of the acronym party was Hubert Minnis. Mm-hmm. Who did Hubert Minnis, Doug, listen to you. Who are you going to say Hubert Minnis put in the Senate?
Nobody.
Okay. So that didn't happen before. It didn't. The African Party never did that. The British did that. Starfish Party put the senator, independent senator, in there. At one point in time, they said, the African said they put Fred Mitchell as an independent senator. And Fred Mitchell said, turn right, no. I was no African senator. But let's go to the call list there. Guiding Radio AMU Live.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yes, Mr. Neary.
I don't, friend.
There comes a time when you need cleansing.
Yes.
Cleansing brings along purification. Even I went into election wounded. They had two defectors, Hiram Lewis, Dr. Mess. What a distraction. Went into election with those two. They're now gone.
Mm-hmm.
I look at now the makeup now. Two females. Hell on the Grand Bahama. Gain one in Nassau, and they gain one seat additional. They might lose the election, but they're now in a better standing than they did 7 days ago. You will see on the way going forward, a more cohesive, strong effort.
Now, hold on. You said they gained one seat.
Yes. They took down a cabinet minister.
But the PLP also gained one seat.
Yes, but the government leading house was taken down.
No, but you can't look at it that way because the Minister of National Security was taken down, but your deputy leader's taken down. See, when you start looking at this thing with a one-sided mirror, that's when you lose me. You got to be fair and honest, man. Everybody had casualties in this situation. We all got scars. We all got wounds. We got to be honest. And while we're doing this, C.A. Nuri, the country's still hurting.
Let me ask this question, because I don't appreciate this text. Or I don't appreciate it. I don't see what it's saying, and you might direct me.
You don't see the value.
No, not the value. I'm not dismissing the value. The facts, what they put forward, I don't see it. So I want you to see, well, this is what they mean. So Michael Pintard lost three times. Dwayne Sands lost three times. Marvin Deems lost two times. Who will rise up as a leader for the FNM? Is it right to say Michael Pintard lost three times? You know that Michael Pintard went against two prime ministers. He's supposed to lose. We went there as a test dummy. You know when you throw someone in? Go and practice. He was a young yuppie, and he had to go against a Perry Christie. Of course he would have lost against Perry Christie. Then he went up against Brave Davis when he was the stronghold with San Salvador and Brave Davis taking anything. But when he finally get a seat, or they finally give him an opportunity because he say, okay, you took two for the team. He finally won a seat, and now this will be his second time winning. So I don't know if you could say that he lost three times. He won his leadership because after coming from that battlefield and now being leader of the FNM, how is that even possible? It's a...
Well, he won in 17, he won in 21, and now he won in 26, so he's been victorious three times,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But in terms of his leadership, they may be referring to his leadership having lost three times. Mm. He lost in the by-election of Bimini, West Grand Bahama. He lost in the by-election for Golden Isles. Now he's lost the general election. What do you now do with Michael C. Pintard, who does extremely well in Marco City, but he doesn't transfer that strength to the rest of his party and loses in totality three times? Same thing for the COI. I'm very proud of Lincoln Bain and what he has performed in Pinewood Gardens in terms of numbers, but the transference and his strength has gone to the other tentacles. They have also gotten stronger. You saw their numbers increased the way you and I sat in this very same room, and we were amazed at the numbers. But now the question is, can they take it any further?
Can they survive the next 5 years in the wilderness?
Only
without no money?
Only if the Free National Movement continues to pine on this idea that they are wounded by menace. They got to let this thing go.
Yeah.
If they don't want to let it go, that is going to be the deadly wound.
I think the millionaire in there in the COI is Dr. MacGyver. I think she spent about $1 million. Maybe in this election, can she afford to spend $1 million again?
Well, I don't know if it was her only. I don't know if she is the millionaire who spent. I do know that there are some very prominent people who were formerly from the Free National Movement. I spoke to them personally.
There's prominent people who support the TOI?
Yes, sir.
Lord,
I spoke to them personally.
You own concern? Let's go to the caller. I concern, man. Since, go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. God, Roseboro, I poke in there. Go ahead, caller. Fastest caller there through the government. Go ahead, caller. You're live. Caller, you there?
Thank you. Lost
you got lost that caller?
Yeah.
And the numbers are 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. Let's read this text. It says, CA, why didn't Shenandoah Cartwright run in Long Island? I'm hearing Pintard is out and Rollins will be running for leadership. You hearing any of these things or people just speculating?
We mentioned the possibility that if they wanted to save the deputy, it would have been best to put him in Long Island. The question is, would he have fit in Long Island? We also said the same thing about the chairman, Dr. Dwayne Sands.
Mm.
If you want to save him, he either goes to St. Anne's or he goes to Long Island. St. Anne's, of course, is already occupied.
What do you think, how would the people receive it when he said, oh, you're trying to sell
the word we got was that there wasn't a good reception down there. Therefore, they finally ended up with one Andre Rollins,
mm-hmm.
which we have been waiting for 4 years to see what would happen to Adrian Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
So when Adrian Gibson exited and Andre Rollins came in, then we said, okay, where's Sands? So it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw Dr. Sands, the chairman and CEO of the FNM, go to Bamboo Town. He ran from Jo Beth Colby,
mm-hmm.
which we knew she was carrying on bad over there,
mm-hmm.
to over to a Patricia DeVoe, which everyone had a big question mark about. Because the Speaker of the House, on a normal circumstance, doesn't return to the House of Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you'd call a low fence.
Yes.
So he went to the low fence.
And lost.
And then we heard about a ruckus from people like Kyle Dean and other people who sit on my show that, you know what, Patricia, you might be in trouble because Sands has a whole throng of people walking behind him.
Mm-hmm.
My response to that was that in Bamboo Town, where I am from, you got to be careful with Bamboo Town because they will take your money, and on the day of election, when you look behind you, they ain't there. And mm-hmm. that's exactly what happened in Bamboo Town.
Let's go to the next caller while I read this text. It says, good morning, sir. Proud Abaconian here.
Proud.
The incumbent in North Abaco is Mr. Cornish, not McIntosh. But,
yes.
But great talk show, by the way. Let's go to the caller. Guardian Radio AM, and thank you very much for that text, sir. Guardian Radio AM, you live?
Hello?
Yeah, that's you. Turn on your radio and go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't think it's a good, is how you guys say put Dr. Sands in Long Island to save him. Mm-hmm. I don't think we want him back. And he was in the minister administration and he flip flopped a few times. We do feel like he's talking the truth to the people in England. So I don't think we want him back.
I appreciate his call, right? And honestly,
thank you very much, Carl.
Mr. Nuri, I really try not to be a mean person, and I want to say this. I think we have much to be proud of when we speak about Dr. Dwayne Sands. I think he's a great guy, great family man, great doctor.
Three and done.
But politically, man, the people just don't see you as a politician, and yeah, that's just the truth.
Three and done. Yeah. I like him too, but three and done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he understands that too.
You think
he can be in the background from now on.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go to the next caller. Guardian Radio AM, you live? Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, you live?
Hey, guys. I just have to call back to make a quick point. Moving forward, I think what needs to happen, and I'm hoping that this is what happens, is that I think the messaging of I'm actually with the obviously I'm progressive. One of the things I want to see happen with our party is I want to see a bit more communication on a larger scale with the general populace,
mm-hmm,
about
mm-hmm.
not leaving so many things to for people to assume,
yes,
come to their own conclusions about. I want us to be a bit more transparent on certain things because sometimes I believe within the party, we believe that people know the difference between what is right and what is true, what is wrong and what's true. But I think that is an indicator. Some of the things are an indicator that we need to do a little bit more of presenting our message. We've done an excellent job in the campaign, yes. But I think consistently we need to be a bit more mindful that within our parties we may know what is going on behind the scenes, but we can't automatically assume that the general populace of the Bahamas is happening. So I think that is one thing that we need to do.
Thank you very much.
One thing I love about the Prime Minister, I can tell you right now, the Prime Minister's caught a lot of heat from persons within the party because he's not a petty Prime Minister. He's given people who are who's in the opposition contracts when other when our party members have made noise. And when people can see a leader doing that, and he doesn't go there and say, but the average person that, and even before he became really, really adept in politics, you could have gone around the Brave office. He didn't ever ask you whether you was FNMP or T or anything like that.
Okay, thank you very much.
That kind of.
Thank you very much, Carl. This text says, good day, Mr. Nuri. Mr. Wayne Munro will be sworn in as AG tomorrow. I mean, people are always speculating. But you think he can get very nice AG tomorrow? God, just saying. Just random text. People still want to say that.
Yeah.
Says, good day, Mr. Nuri and Garth. Excellent talk show today. Leader Michael C. Pintar do need to stand down because he is ordained by Jehovah Almighty. We will not worry or be afraid. The Unstoppable Change team is stronger and crowning of the new PM will happen according to prophecy. Selah.
That's from Grand Bahama.
Mayor of Grand Bahama.
Yeah.
I mean, God has come down and talked to them a lot. Mm. I mean, it'd be impressive. Say, blessings, Dwight and all, your wonderful co-host. If the FNM powerful, meritorious members and all other relevant FNM stakeholders seriously wants to secure the win in the next general election, 2020-30-31, or whenever it would be called for the best FNM to leave Honorable Michael Clifton Pintard at the helm as the official leader of the FNM party and remove the Honorable Michael Clifton Pintard as the FNM leader would be suicide, just as a PLP was safe for victory with Brave, a.k.a. the Honorable Philip Edward Brave. Okay, this is a long thing. But they say keep, long and short, they say keep Michael Pintard. I think they should keep him until... And if you go to conclave and put it to the people, let the people decide, man. Let the people decide. Let's go to the caller. Guardian Radio AM, you live.
Hey.
Morning.
Pigeon God. It sounds like somebody horse in the race die, man. You sound under the weather today, God.
No, I'm here with C.A. Nuri. I'm going to be back here at 2 o'clock today. I don't know if Nuri's coming to join us, but, you know, he's a busy man. But we're going to have a great conversation at 2 o'clock today and start to break this thing down.
All right, just checking on you, my friend. Are we missing something? Everybody talking about rebuilding the party. Who is going to be the next candidate? Who's going to be the next leader? I mean, isn't it simple if you do the work, the people will vote for you, right? Mm. Rick Fox, the newcomer, the new guy on the block, he says he's going to continue doing his work in the community, which is what all politicians should be doing. And I haven't heard that in the last 25 years, and I've been voting. Because when the incumbent or the somebody is voted out or lose the deposit or whatever, they disappear for 5 years. You don't hear nothing about them. They go back to their private practice, earn money. Don't say nothing about politics until, what, a year or two? Before or 6 months?
The credit would go to the COI, who has never stopped campaigning. And that's why I think it's amazing to me that if you were an incumbent in this election, you should never stop working. The Free National Movement, instead of working for us like they said they were doing, they were working on ministers' nerve. And therefore, we saw the results. They got to stay working. I agree with you. Stay working.
Thank you very much, Colin.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's read this text before we go, God. It says, no, Cecil, only 25% of the country voted for the PLP. Not voting does not equate to no voice. This is another lie fed to the nation. No PM says, I'm only governing for people on the voters' register. Only those who participate count in terms of the percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine it's... okay, let's give an example. Who's the former leader of the COI, the lady, the lawyer? Her name
Maria,
is Maria.
Datsun, which is deputy.
She didn't get to nominate. Should we count her as part of the participation of those who vie for the seat?
I thought she nominated.
No, she didn't get to nominate herself. She didn't get to nominate. She didn't reach there in time or whatever the reason was. My point is, only those who participate makes the percentage.
That is true.
So 56% of those who participated
supported the PLP. Those who did not participate cannot be in the number. Because we don't know if they're here, they exist, or when I said they get mesmerized on their way there, or decide they're not voting again in life. So we don't know.
The 44% is a big discussion, my friend. Yes. But I appreciate being here, and thank you for the invitation once again.
What you can do with Botendo?
I can talk about it.
You have to talk about it?
Come back and talk
you
about it.
You believe you can convince them to come back and vote again?
You can spend 1 hour with me today, or you...
I can try my best.
Okay.
I can try my best.
Let's talk about it.
But you notice the whole Western Hemisphere here, on this side of the pond, their voters' numbers are being shrinking.
I've been saying this.
Yeah.
This is why I can say what I said.
This might be the new normal.
That's what I've been saying.
And if it's a new normal, why are we complaining?
But the Bahamas has always led the way. We can be the first to fix it.
We can fix it?
We could, if we want to.
If we want to?
Yes, sir.
We can't even get Freedom of Information Act.
I know how to get it.
You know how to get it? Guardian Radio, AMCNRE. I can do my best to come back. God, at 2 o'clock? God?
Yeah, between 2 and 4. Anytime between there, you're good.
Okay. See you later on today.
Yeah.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.